This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
6:45, quarter till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. When it comes to big money items and budgets and government and policies, I always use the analogy, some of this stuff gets in the weeds, but if you've ever played golf for money, you know that's where most of the cheating goes on, right? Where it's thick and wiry and you can't see what's happening. Romina Baccia joins us now, Director of Budget and Entitlement Policy at the Cato Institute. Good morning, Romina. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about what's going on with the budget and the continuing resolutions. And I see an accounting gimmick here. I don't understand what all that is, to pretend extending the 2017 tax cuts, that saying that it won't increase the deficit, talking about a current policy baseline. This seems very confusing. But again, that's where a lot of the shenanigans happen, right?
Yes, the big debate right now is, of course, extending the Trump tax cuts and how to do so without adding significantly to the already excessive deficits that we have. You know, at $2 trillion annually and about 6% of GDP, our deficits are at levels that we normally only see during economic or public health crises like the COVID pandemic. But now that we've come out of the pandemic, why is the government still spending as if we are in a crisis? And so if we just extend the tax cuts and we don't cut spending to help pay for those tax cuts, then that deficit is going to grow further out of control. And so it is very unsustainable now at this stage to just extend the tax cuts. And so where this gimmick comes in is the House is saying we need to pay for the tax cuts. Here are some spending cuts to do so. They actually fall far short, but at least they're trying. And now the Senate is saying, we're not so sure about spending cuts at all because those are really politically tricky. Why don't we just extend the tax cuts and just pretend like they don't add to the deficit?
Somebody texted in. I was asking people to text in their thoughts because I was talking about Romina before you came on, about process as opposed to results. And sometimes I think people confuse process with results and they don't like the process. And maybe sometimes there are results they like, sometimes results they don't like. Sometimes there are no results, just the process itself. And somebody texted in and said, ending government waste spending and making the rest of the world spend their money that they're supposed to be spending, I'm satisfied so far. Well, that sounds good, but is that what happened? Or what's happening?
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you know, it's sort of people are looking at some of President Trump's campaign promises on the margin, and they're a shift in the direction of policy priorities. And that is happening. However, those are very small savings in comparison to the size of the overall federal budget. Where the real meat is in order to reduce spending and reduce deficits is in healthcare programs and retirement programs, which together make up more than 50% of the budget. Then you have, you know, interest on the debt, which you can't really cut. That makes up another large portion. In fact, last year, interest on the debt was about $1 trillion. It is now as high as our entire defense budget, which is deeply troubling. And then you can cut some other things. And so where DOGE and the president have been primarily active is in those other things. But as part of these tax cut extensions, we're actually talking about making some long overdue changes to the Medicaid program, which has grown significantly in part due to the Obamacare expansion from 2014. And since then, the share that the federal government pays of what is supposed to be a state-administered program has gone up significantly, where the federal government now covers like three-quarters, up to 75 cents of every dollar that states spend, which also makes it less likely for states to tap down on fraud, waste, abuse, and making sure that only people who are supposed to be eligible are continuing to receive benefits from this program, because they only get to keep 25 cents of every dollar they save. They don't have as much of an incentive to make sure the program is run as efficiently as if they were on the hook for at least half of what Medicaid spends.
You're talking about the states now, right?
Yes, I'm talking about the state, because here's the problem, right? It's Washington is sending so much money to the states for programs that ultimately the states administer. This is the case for Medicaid. So you have that lack of accountability because the money is coming from Washington, but the states are actually in charge of how the programs are run. And so if they don't pay for the programs, why do they care who's actually on them?
So $2 trillion a year in deficit, the debt is up to $36.5 trillion and increasing. The focus is on DOGE. I see on this usdebtclock.org, they have a DOGE clock, and it's going up savings per taxpayer. Anyway, the total is $184 trillion, I guess. I don't know where they got that number from. How do you know what's – can you put a number on what
– number. You can't believe that number, because that number is just made up. Elon Musk said he wants to cut $4 billion a day, and so literally the debt clock goes up by $4 billion every day. Whether on the DOGE, you know, the DOGE aspect of the debt clock, whether they actually cut any spending or not, so that's made up. Unfortunately, I have to tell you.
Just to be clear, it's $184 billion that's on there, not trillion. I misspoke. But let me take a break.
Yes.
Mina, when we come back, I want to talk about Medicaid, because Louisiana is a solid red state.
We don't have
the money to pay for Medicaid. I don't think we do right now. I think it would bankrupt the state. But then that goes to who should get Medicaid, who doesn't. When it comes to DOGE, who's getting benefits that shouldn't? How much fraud, waste, and abuse is there? I don't think anybody wants to say from the humane standpoint that people shouldn't get treatment if they can't afford it. But on the other hand, if you don't give them treatment, from the practical standpoint, they're going to go to the emergency room, and guess who pays for that? Us. So I don't know what you do, unless you want to go all Dickens and decrease the surplus population and let people die. I don't know what the answer is. 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWO. 657, Tommy Tucker, WWL, trying to get the truth behind the budget and where the money's being spent and what's being saved and what isn't. Romina Baccia joins us as our guest, rather, Director of Budget and Entitlement Policy with the Cato Institute. So when it comes to, Romina, I know Medicaid is the third largest expense in the federal defense. I'll get it out. Why don't you tell me where Medicaid stands in a budget? It might be easier for you to get it out.
Yeah, it is become increasingly expensive. The most expensive program is Social Security, followed by Medicare and Medicaid. Now, interest on the debt is actually larger than Medicare or Medicaid, but it's not really a federal government program. It's what we have to pay for the debt that we've already incurred. So it is a budget category, but I wouldn't call it a program. By the way, I did look into the Medicaid enrollment figures in Louisiana, and they're surprisingly very similar to the broader U.S. rates. In Louisiana, it says the uninsured rate is 19%. For the entire United States, it's 17%. And Louisiana is also one of the states that participated in the Obamacare Medicaid expansion, which increased Medicaid eligibility for people who are neither children, pregnant women, or individuals with disabilities or seniors. And so this is one of the problems actually that we have with Medicaid that we should tackle: the improper payment rates since the Medicaid expansion have gone through the roof, with my colleagues Rachel Gressler and Brian Blaze at the Paragon Health Institute calculating that we've had over $1 trillion in improper payments in the Medicaid program because of that.
Before we run out of time, improper payments to whom? Who's making money off of this?
The health providers and the states that are claiming people are eligible for Medicaid that shouldn't be, because the states aren't doing proper eligibility checks.
That's fraud, waste, and abuse at a big old high level, right? Has anybody looked at that?
We should all be able to get behind cutting that.
Has Elon Musk looked at that?
I don't believe Elon Musk has looked at that, but I know Congress is actively looking at that right now, and it's particular senators that are crossing their arms and saying, yeah, maybe there is all this fraud, waste, and abuse, but we're still worried about our reelection prospects, so don't touch it.
There you go. Thank you. I appreciate your time, Romina Baccia, just trying to get the truth from the politics and the news headlines and all of this stuff. We'll be back. Tommy Tucker, WWL.